Are you a real estate tycoon or a record company executive?
Is your engine bored out way over spec?
Would you build a fire and not bring any weenies?
Then you might be Baywatched.
We're back. By popular demand. No, I can't even finish that. Definitely not popular demand, but definitely the little part of everyone's brain that doesn't want to see a starving podcaster in pain or in need. And when it comes to us, we're several layers deep in the turducken that is Baywatch-centric podcasts.
Okay.
Because they often try and fail somewhere around the end of season two, the beginning of season three, never to be picked up again. So much like the woman who swallowed a fly, we are inside of a podcast, inside of a podcast, inside of a podcast, slowly clawing our way, our way out of the corpse within a corpse of Baywatch podcasts. Until we one day will, like a butterfly?
Xenomorph?
Xenomorph, or the child version of Dr. Giggles, we will erupt from the corpse of our mother.
Good, good.
And take our proper place as the only Baywatch podcast to get through all the episodes.
Indeed.
And so we're back.
We are.
To fulfill that destiny.
After slight technical difficulties. Mostly software.
Yes. So, season one. Schwam.
Schwam.
Season Schwam. Episode 20.
Yep.
The Big Race.
Yep. There goes the cop car. Nice.
There's, hopefully, we can only hope that one day there is some sort of wiki or list that someone has made of episodes of Baywatch where you can hear a siren in the background.
Terrible.
So episode 20, The Big Race. Where do we begin? Well, we begin with Shawnee.
Yeah, we start with Shawnee and Eddie, I think, at a tower, talking about Jill's parents. Is it at a tower, or is it at some of these towers?
Yeah, Shawnee just first shows up. Yeah. I wrote down Shawnee got the flops on.
Yeah, so the flops. They're at a tower talking about Jill's parents because Jill is dead. As of last episode.
Was it only just the last one? Shark Derby
was
right before this? Wow, it has been a minute.
I know.
I thought there was like a couple in between. Nope. It's just been a long time.
Mm-hmm. Oh no!
What a awful thing! Jill dying, terrible.
It's true.
Not
very
happy
upsetting.
About it. Jill dies.
Yep.
Trevor goes missing.
It's true.
What's
we
happening?
Get court. Meh.
Yeah. Speaking of court.
Yep. Oh wait, we're not done with Eddie and Shawnee and Jill's parents yet.
Well, lead us through this episode.
Yes. So, the reason that Shawnee wearing flip flops is important is that somebody starts drowning. And her and Eddie run to get the drowning person, and she doesn't even take her flip-flops off.
Yes. She has a little Vietnam flashback about going in the water.
Yeah.
And claims that her leg cramped up.
Yeah. So, that's where that goes. She does not save the person. Eddie does. But, yeah, she and her flip-flops don't make it very far into the water. Now it's Court. Court and Eddie are all dressed up on a boat, and Eddie is behaving like a manservant.
Yes, because Court is doing possibly the worst thing he's done to a woman in a series where he has allowed them to be the victims of gangsters and end up in perilous situations.
Yeah.
He's lying to her, but also seemingly has slept with this woman at least once while promising to give her money to a charity that he has given to in the past more than he rightfully should.
Yeah, and this time they need more, apparently. They can't keep this. They're running a convalescent home, and they can't keep it afloat, and he's promised them a specific amount of money. Was it $10,000 that he promised them this time?
Yes.
Yeah,
he usually gave them five. Yeah. For our listeners, can we explain what a convalescent home is?
Oh, yes. It's a place where you send your old relatives to,
wither and die?
Wither and die.
Okay, cool.
I mean, you know, like, they get care there that they wouldn't get anywhere else. Like, I wouldn't be able to give an old relative care at my home.
Yeah.
Because they kind of need a nurse. Mm-hmm. And so there's nurses there. And people who, like, feed them and bathe them and stuff like that. Some of them are catatonic. This person, I think we find out. Yeah. I'm getting ahead of myself.
It's yes, fine. You are. So, she also, I believe, drops the line, you're the most decent man I know.
Oh, yeah. She's wrong. Oh, he's calling himself John Court the Third.
Yes. Real estate mogul and record company tycoon.
Yeah.
Record executive.
Thing. So he's pretending to her that he owns a mansion and that the yacht that they are on is his. And he swears Eddie to secrecy. He's like, yeah. Do not tell her.
Which is such it's crazy that Eddie gets caught up in these schemes at all.
Yeah.
You should just stop.
Yeah. And Eddie's like, I'm not going to tell. And I'm like, yeah, I would be too embarrassed to tell.
Yeah.
This stuff if I was Eddie. So, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, interesting. Oh, Mitch walks into a court on the phone talking to his bank about how to sell his shop.
No, he doesn't walk in on it. So we go back over to headquarters, and there's sort of everybody hustling and bustling about.
Mm.
Mitch sits down with Craig at the break table, and Court is on the phone, and he, like, calls out. He's like, hey, everybody, this is pre-common cell phones. I've got to use the phone in the break room. Can y'all shut up? And then proceeds to have the loudest conversation possible about selling his shop and what would be left over to give to the charity, and it would only be $3,000.
Yeah. And he's got some kind of hold on his account. Not super sure what kind. I mean, you're only hearing one side of the conversation, so. Yeah.
So, obviously, Mitch and Craig sort of take this information in, and...
Mm-hmm.
I think we then go over to Court at his store where he's fixing painting. Some stuff up, painting, and Mitch and Craig walk in with a $3,000 check.
Yeah.
And they're just like, we're friends, you know, we can charge you interest if you like, but you don't have to, like, tell us what it's for, you just need it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
Absolutely insane that either of them would do that and think it's not for something fucked up and unscrupulous. Right?
Like, wasn't his last shenanigan something about, like, gambling on a ship? I don't know. Anyway, yeah.
Well, at least the gambling on a ship wasn't to try and get rich. That was the whole, that was Eddie's whole problem.
I guess that's true. Court was like, Eddie, you need to stop. And so he actually had a good
thing
going that time.
But Court is trouble.
Yes. He is trouble.
Full of problems.
It's true. And while they're talking, somebody comes into the shop with a poster for water ski races, and the prize is $15,000. So, of course, we know what's happening here.
So, Court gets an idea in his head.
Yeah.
I think after this, we go back to headquarters, and we see that Shawnee has traded tower shifts with somebody so she could stay at the... at headquarters?
Not quite yet. The Shawnee thing is she can't even rescue a ball that's basically on the shore. Some kid's beach ball falls into the water, and it's like, I don't know, 3 feet from shore. And she runs over, and the kid's like, oh, I can't go and get it. So she, like, takes
again,
a little step.
Like,
and
superimposed helicopters fly by, and she freaks out, and then is like, the current's got it, I can't.
Yeah, and the kid's like, it's right there. Like, yeah.
The kid could wade out up to their knees and get it.
Yeah, it's bananas. I don't know. Maybe Shawnee is in headquarters a couple of times, but the next thing that I have is that Court is buying a speedboat with the money that Mitch and Craig loaned him.
No, I think the scene I brought up is just after that. I'm just trying to follow my notes here.
That's fair.
But yeah, he, in thinking about the water ski competition, decides that the best course of action is to go and spend the $3,000 on a boat.
On a boat that, like,
a used boat.
Yeah, used boat that this guy seems to be selling as fast as he possibly can. Honestly. And do Mitch and Craig catch him doing that? I feel like they do.
No, he goes to Mitch's office and has a handful of pictures of the boat.
Right.
Because he slaps it down, and then Eddie or whoever else like looks at it and is like, oh, this is a sweet boat.
Yeah.
And they're just, then Mitch and Craig are like, what the fuck? You spent our goddamn money on a boat.
Yeah, and Court's like, I know what I'm doing, but he won't tell them why he needs this money. He just won't tell them.
Yeah.
And one of his lines about this is, they're like, have you ever done this before? Like, do you water ski? And he's like, for $15,000, I can do anything for an hour.
Yeah.
So I think they go and see the boat with Hobie.
Yeah, they go to the dock where it's tied up so that they can get it started up and see what it's like. And the competition, they have a name for their boat. The bad guys have a boat name or whatever that I did not write down.
I didn't write it down either, but yeah, they...
It doesn't matter. It's only ever brought up once.
Yeah.
So fuck it.
That's true.
But they try to get their boat started up, and sort of does.
Yeah. It sort of does, but then there's immediately a fire. Like, the engine starts on fire, and they have to put it out, and that's it for the boat. And so the rival boat crew was like, aw, there's a fire, and we didn't bring any weenies. And I'm like, oh my god, are you 12? Are you 12?
So now we go to Shawnee at headquarters.
Yes.
So this is where Shawnee has traded shifts, and Captain Thorpe, of course, notices this. I hate the way he's talking to her, because it just reminded me of all the, like, shitty corporate-type bosses that I've had at crappy corporation jobs.
Oh, yeah?
Where it's just like, well, things are not satisfactory to blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, just the way he's talking about it. Mm-hmm. I was like, shut up. But he's not wrong.
Yeah, like, she's like, oh, I'm here because, like, I got a leg cramp with the last time I tried to rescue someone. And he's like, yeah, it's funny what the mind can make the body do. Mm. And he talks to her about how, like, what her problem is trauma from Jill's death. I thought he was actually being very kind, because then he offers her a job at headquarters instead of in the towers. So that she can work on her friggin' trauma.
Yeah, what he does eventually come to say is good. It's just the words he used at the beginning. I was like,
That's fair. I think we still missed a bit where they take the boat to a mechanic to find out what's wrong with it.
Oh, everything's wrong
with
it. Yes, somebody tried to modify the boat and fucked it up.
Yes. And Court and Mitch and Craig are all there together, like, looking at the boat with this mechanic. And this is where the mechanic is like, the engine's bored out way over spec. And Mitch and Craig are doing their, like, you know, their sarcastic old lady bit where they're like, ah, is it? Oh, I see. How surprising. You know, like, they're like, yeah, of course your scheme went wrong, Court.
Yeah. It always does.
It He's always
cursed.
Does.
The man is fucking cursed.
Absolutely cursed. But then it's Shawnee headquarters, and then it's Shawnee flashback.
Yeah, she decides to go full denim, walk on the water.
Yeah.
Like, walking in the surf in full denim with the denim jeans just getting wet.
Yeah.
Like, halfway up to her knees.
Yeah.
It was upsetting.
It looked really uncomfortable. But the whole time that's happening, she's having these flashback, Jill flashbacks.
Yeah.
Like, of Jill dying of
image
shark.
Image of shark. Yeah, Jill screaming. Image of shark, Jill screaming.
Yeah. And it goes on for a while.
Yes, at least like a minute and a half of this. Finally ending where we see that she's just standing in the surf so much that her feet are gone.
Yeah,
her feet are completely sunk down into the sand, and she's just kind of there up to her ankles.
Oh, dear.
So now we are on to rebuilding the boat.
Yes. Yeah, Mitch and Craig are like, what are you going to do with the boat? I think that then he talks about selling the boat and the shop again. No, not yet. Yeah, what are you going to do with the boat? He's going to save it. I guess.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Because I don't fucking know what happens. You're the one who's so confident.
Isn't this where they're like... Oh, no, it isn't. I don't actually know. I just have my notes just say that they're trying to find out what Court wants to do with the boat.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah. And then Shawnee and Eddie are having dinner.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think they've finished having dinner.
Yeah.
Because Eddie is doing the dishes. And
what a guy.
Also tells Shawnee, he's like, don't you want to be, like, at headquarters? Because she's, like, mad about the headquarters assignment. And he's like, well, don't you want to be there? You keep trading your shifts.
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck you, I'll get the water anytime. Let's go get the water right now.
Basically.
She does get, like, kind of up in his face. He's like, hey, I'm on your side. Like, maybe your friend died. It sucks. And she's just like, you shut the fuck up. Let's get the water right now.
Help. It's super weird because, like, he's just trying to be a nice guy and she's freaking out at him for it. But, again, that's what trauma does, I guess.
Go for it.
Whee!
That's all there.
Yeah, Shawnee keeps saying she's fine, but she is not.
Here's the boat test.
Yes, now they are doing a boat test, and they go on about their pink helmets, but they don't look pink to me, so I don't know if it's a color correction.
It's definitely just color correction ship being put onto this DVD or that DVD or into this rerun. Because there's times where it does look pink, and then there's times where it's like kind of like the fluorescent orange of safety stuff, but... it never kind of leaves like this cherry look because you do see other orange shit that looks orange. And so it's always a little off. But yeah, the fact that they talk about how starkly pink it is.
Yeah. They're like
it's a front to our manhood. and they but make it a doesn't
big,
look pink.
Yeah. They make a big show of loading these helmets onto the boat and then just not wearing them during practice.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
I think the reason that the guys driving the boat need to wear helmets is because they might crash into another boat.
Yeah.
So during practice, they're probably not going to crash into another boat. So I guess I understand.
Yeah, but now it's cue the water ski practice montage. And it's a lot. Again, so much montage. And here's where I started to be like, water ski racing seems a little weird. Like, are you racing the boat or are you racing the skiers, right? Like, which one is basically...
Whose nose has to cross the finish line?
Yeah, whose nose has to cross the finish line? But honestly, it's not the skier's fault if the boat is slow, right? Like, you could be a great skier with a slow boat, and you'd still lose the race.
Yeah.
So it seems like a boat race that just drags people behind. Anyway.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely one of those rich people have an advantage things.
Yes.
I think most... Southern American boat races are of such an ilk.
It's true. But yeah, they're out practicing, and it looks like their rival team is also out practicing. And they make a wake in front of their boat.
Oh, yeah, because their boat is faster. Yeah. So they pass them, make a wake in front of them. I do love when Mitch and Craig hit the wake, because we get a shot of actually... those two actors in the boat pretending to go over the wake, and they clearly do not. And they're like, oh no, it's the wake! And they just like kind of do a fake boop thing, and it's like, no, that boat didn't hit that shit.
No.
But then, of course, Court is completely demolished by the wake.
Yeah, he falls off real hard.
His life vest is seen floating by itself.
Yeah.
They're forced to jump in to save him.
Yeah, my notes are like, where Court? And now, where Ski? Because I didn't see the ski anywhere either, and those things are supposed to float, but all right. I can't imagine hitting the water so hard that my life jacket came off.
Well, knowing Court, he didn't have it fucking done up.
I thought it was. It would be too flabby if he didn't.
Oh, true.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so yeah.
So Court has to go to the hospital
to
find out that he has cracked ribs.
Yep.
And is now not a water ski raceman.
Exactly.
But everybody decides to put this job on to Craig.
Yeah. Court's like, well, now I'm just going to sell the boat in the shop. And he still won't tell Mitch and Craig what he wants the money for. And they're like, no, we signed up for this.
Yeah. So we're going to do it.
Somebody is skiing. And that's how this is going to go. And Mitch just kind of volunteers Craig for it by
flattery.
Yeah, he says he'll be the one that'll look good doing it.
Yeah. He's like, oh, you're so balanced on a surfboard and you'll just look good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Craig now has to water ski. We get another water ski montage, yeah, but the superior one, because it is set to a Billy Ocean song. I don't know what name of the song is. It's either When the Going Gets Tough or When the Tough Get Going. Oh, okay. Let's the song is either individually one of those names or one and then the other in parentheses.
It is no parentheses, but one and then the other. When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
It's just all there.
Yep.
Song kicks ass. Billy Ocean's great.
Yeah.
Always a fun bop. And so, yeah, we get a fun little, like, yeah, training montage.
Yeah.
With the ski, the skirt.
And it looks like Craig's doing pretty okay. But they're also, like, yelling back and forth at each other. But, like, how are you supposed to hear that?
I have a feeling there's absolutely no chance in hell that you would hear at all.
No. Yeah. And in this skiing montage, I feel like they reused a stunt guy to do a jump over and over again. Same stunt guy doing the same jump. All right. But yeah. So after they're done that new practice, they're like hanging out by the boat, and this is where the rich girl shows up.
Yes, the woman who runs the charity, who in turn runs the convalescence house.
Yeah.
Shows up asking Cork, because she's like, Where the fuck have you been? You said you were going to talk to the bank.
Yeah.
And you just sort of fucked off. Mm-hmm. And he's like there in overalls drinking a beer. Like literally
looking
like
rough.
Like basically caught with his pants down around his ankles and his thumb up his ass. Like,
yeah.
Mitch and Craig are there drinking beer with him as well.
Yeah.
And are very intrigued with what she has to say.
Yeah. They're doing their bitty bit again, their old lady bit, where they're just like, they just kind of let Court dig a hole with his silence, and they ask her all these questions, or they're like, oh, aren't you going to introduce us? And then they introduce themselves.
Yeah. And then she has the question where she's like, oh, are you in real estate or do you work with Court at the record company?
Yeah.
And I do love that they both look at each other, and then Craig is just like, Craig or Mitch, whichever one says, I'm gonna let Court answer that one.
Yes.
No attempt to cover his ass at all. They're just like, I don't, you know what? Let's find out.
Yeah. Let's find out how we know this man. And they're in front of his, like, little shack, right? Or wherever he lives. He lives in a, what does he live in? Houseboat?
No, they're, it's like the garage off of the store, isn't
right.
it?
Right, okay.
Unless this is somewhere else, it seems like it's the garage off of the store.
Right, yeah.
Because whenever people kind of come in and out of there, it seems like it's right off of Santa Monica or where that is. So I assume that they're next to the store.
Yeah. So she's like, what are you doing here? And then Mitch and Craig are like, well, he lives here.
Mm.
And she's like, where's your mansion?
Yeah.
And they're like,
where's your yacht?
Yeah, like,
well, there's this boat.
yeah, it's not a boat. They're kind of behaving, and I can't tell if they're like, think that she doesn't know the difference between a boat or a yacht, or they're teasing Court by being like, oh yeah, he doesn't have a yacht.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's not a yacht, it's just a boat. It's really nice, though. And so eventually she finds out that they are not in real estate or recording, and that Cord has been lying to her the whole time, and she slaps him. I was like, yeah, bitch, go for it. That's what he deserves.
Yeah. I don't know how many Cord's been struck in almost every episode that he's been in.
As he should be.
Yeah.
Now we cut to Shawnee and Eddie. Her proving that she can go into the water just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. They're in like wetsuits and Eddie's just trying to like drag her into the ocean.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm fine. Let's go for a workout. And he's like, well, I have my workout. Help yourself.
Yeah.
And she goes into the water. She makes it about as far out as that ball was.
Yeah.
And gets seaweeded and freaks out.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, it was really gross and grabby seaweed. Ugh,
that's true.
Gross.
Yeah.
But
I guess I've never actually been swimming in the ocean and encountered seaweed in a sense where it like touches me.
It is awful. Usually you can't see it. In this one, you can sort of see it at the top of the water, but usually you can't see it, and it just kind of slips around your ankles and gets all slithery, and it is nasty. Anyway, she's screaming for Eddie. He takes her out of the water and apologizes. But yeah, he's like, yeah, I think you're maybe not okay. Yeah. She's like, I was so scared.
Something everybody knows.
Yeah. Surprise. But now we're back at the surf shop where this girl is like dabbing at Court's face and asking if he needs an ice pack. And I'm like, the way that we watched this episode twice, once long ago before the technical difficulties and once again now. But the last time that we watched it before, we both yell groaned about this woman coming right back to Court.
Yeah. Asserted her dominance. And then immediately just falls into the dive shop.
So he finally tells everybody what the fuck he wants to do with that money.
Yeah. So after his parents died, he lived with his uncle and they fought all the time. And he didn't talk to him for a long time and then found out that he like had dementia and needed to be in a care home and wanted him to be in this convalescence home.
Yeah.
And he
He didn't have money for a good one, and he didn't want him to be in, like, a state-run, basically old people prison.
So it seems like it's sort of... They don't quite explain it, but it's... Mm-hmm. From what it sounds like it's a charity because he had no family and no one knew what to do with this guy.
Yeah.
And because Court felt guilty about that as if he was taking advantage of them, he's done what he can to donate like $5,000 a year.
Yeah.
So that's sort of been the game he's been keeping up.
Yeah, and this time he's not lying because he calls his uncle Uncle Stan and she knows who he's talking about. She's like, Mr. Cooper? Yeah. And then Mitch and Craig are like, I always call them like together because they just kind of talk together all the time.
But in episodes like this, they absolutely do. They finish each other's sentences.
Yeah. They're like one entity. I'm horrified by the trying to imagine putting their names together, a la Bennifer.
Critch.
Critch, yes. Oh, Lord. Anyway, so one of them asks
Meg.
Meg. Meg.
Meg. Meg.
Terrible. One of them asks him, like, when's the last time you saw your Uncle Stan? So he goes and visits his Uncle Stan.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice.
And that guy who got to act as Uncle Stan, definitely, you know, he got paid scale for the day, and he just had to come in and have a 1,000-yard stare, just lay in a bed and just, like, stare into nothing.
Yeah.
While Court held his hand.
Yeah.
So we see Shawnee at headquarters.
Yeah, clearing out Jill's locker, I think.
Yeah. And Garner comes in to talk to her.
He's like, what are you doing? Cleaning out your locker? And she's like, yeah, I'm leaving Baywatch. And he's like, is this about Jill? So like literally everyone knows this is about Jill, except for Shawnee, who won't admit it.
This is another great moment for Garner. I don't know if I've said specifically before. I just know that I've always like really liked when he shows up in episodes. I think his like episode where he's lead is like one of the best. It's one of the best of the season. And this is a great scene of, like, him just kind of being a better actor than a lot of other people in the show. It's still Baywatch acting, you know? Yeah, like, it's still, like, this type of show acting, but it's, like, he's that character, you know? It's a bit more believable than most people. So, but he does tell, like, kind of a very normal story of, you know, being on a traffic stop and the guy was, like, all fucked up on drugs or drunk or something and thought that they were after him. So he shot Garner's partner, and that fucked him up, and he needed off the street.
Yeah, so he's had a similar experience, I guess, and he's just kind of trying to relate it to her, so, yeah.
Next is our Lap of Luxury montage.
Oh, good, yes.
Because this is where I was like, why does this song sound so familiar?
Yeah.
And it's because the band is ZZ Top.
Yes.
And it sounds like three other ZZ Top songs, like, mashed together.
Mashed together in a trench coat.
Because I was just like, yeah, I was like listening to it, and I was like thinking, like, man, they probably could accidentally just start playing the other song in the middle of this.
Yeah, and you
just
started like, singing
give me
it.
All your love. Nope, not that one. Lab of Luxury, there it is. Yeah, okay.
Really. Yeah, but this is played over their race montage. Now they are actually racing for real.
Yeah, full race. Do get some sweet helicopter shots of what is clearly this race that is real going on in the area, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So it is a cool, some cool shots of this race that does have, like, I don't know, like 50 different boats dragging people all fucking taken off.
Well, they have numbers on them, and I believe the rival boat is 66. So if they're like 66 racers, that's a lot.
Could be,
maybe they started.
There is a 10, pretty crazy high up shot of a lot of different boats, and they're like in, they're layered in tiers. So it's not like they're all just like straight across. There's like a shitload of them all around.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, like, how do you get lined up to start? Because everyone seems to be, like, futzing about and, like, inching forward. Nah. Like, it's not like we have a laser guide, like, catching the people, like, getting too close. We're like, hey,
yeah,
you're over the laser.
Yeah.
You're over the boat laser.
There are so many boats. There are so many wakes. Now they're wearing their helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because there are so many wakes, I guess the people who are kind of in the front are just going to be faster.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah. So they all take off, and it's a long race. It's I forget how long they say it. They say it a couple times.
Because
it's, like, from some, like, you know, it's landmark. From, like, basically one city to another.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's, like, it's like 20 miles or something ridiculous like that. Like, it's quite a ways.
It is a lot, yeah.
So they start off, and then we cut away. Because we are seeing Shawnee going out to the tower.
Yeah.
And she's like
packing up
pictures and shit.
Yeah.
But then is like, who am I kidding? And starts putting the pictures back. Gets a chance at a rescue because somebody is like calling out.
And she is wearing a lot of clothing for a rescue.
Yes.
She's wearing like two pairs of shorts. So like biker shorts and then cut off jeans over top and then a shirt and a pink sweater over top of that.
Yeah. Well, it looked like workout shirt. T-shirt, a crop top sweater that's buttoned up. I figured she at least would have ripped that off, but no.
Didn't. Ran into the water fully clothed.
Runs into the water, but Numi also shows up and gives her a hand. I think it was Numi's tower and she just happened to be there. Numi was on shift there.
Yeah. It was Numi's tower. And then everybody congratulates Numi for saving this person, which is weird because Shawnee's
They pull him out of the water, but Numi does the mouth-to-mouth
they
cough it up, and that's what it is. Eddie's there, and he's like, good job, Numi, because Numi did do the CPR.
Yeah, that's true. And then Eddie's like, listen, Shawnee, I'm sorry that I pushed you to go into the water too soon. Like, that was shitty of me. I shouldn't have done it, which is nice. You know, Eddie's doing the thing again where he, like, actually takes responsibility for his shit, which is good. I like
it is
that.
Good, yeah.
Nice
little kind of cap that isn't perfect. Like, she still says, like, she's super freaked out, and it was super hard to even do that, but she knew she had to do it.
Yeah, and then Eddie's like, stuff is scary.
Yeah.
Like, we're lifeguards. Shit is scary.
Yeah, so I'm glad that, it didn't completely wrap it all up in a nice bow.
Yeah.
So, I like that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the race is still going on.
Yeah, and it seems like Craig is in the lead.
Yeah, it does seem like they're in the lead. Obviously closely followed by this rival boat, Weenie Guy.
Weenie Guy.
The guy who likes to bring weenies to boat fires.
Yes.
both of them seem to... Their boats pass over a drift net.
Yeah.
That doesn't fuck them up, but both water skiers are immediately caught up in the net.
Yeah.
And here we see that the power of teamwork and friendship is stronger than that of a fast boat.
Yes.
Because Mitch and Craig Mitch and Court are able to pull up with them, kind of cut Craig free and take off without anybody panicking. Meanwhile, the other guy is like, get me out of here!
It's a fish trawler's net, and they do definitely cut Craig out, and then they just, like, bugger off without being like, hey, sorry about your fucking net, which was in the way of our race somehow.
Yeah.
Awfully close to shore. But yeah. Now they have to catch the people in front, and they go for it.
Yeah, see, this is where I got confused, because they So it was. So the person who crashed wasn't the typical weenie guy then.
I thought it was.
Because it seemed like they took off and then caught up to them.
Oh, maybe.
So that, yeah, I got a little confused there. Where I was like, wait, who took off first? Who? What's happening? So maybe that was someone else. Or something there. There was some weird editing there where I got confused. So, but either way, they are neck and neck.
Yeah.
And this is where we find out that it doesn't fucking matter how long the rope is on your water skier, because Craig starts, like, pulling the slack up the rope, and they start tying the rope up more in the boat and, like, taking in the rope.
Yeah, so that answers my question about who has to cross the finish line first, the boat or the people. Definitely the people.
Yes.
The skiers. But, yeah, super weird.
The other water skier, weenie guy, attempts to do this and
falls off the ski
trying to do this because he loses his balance and his grip. And it's funny because as soon as he does that, Craig, like, also sort of lets go and, like, lets himself come roll to a stop. But it's like, but man, I would, yeah, but, like, where is the finish line? They don't really show it. You just assume, and you hear someone announcing it, and it's like, I wouldn't fucking let go. I'd be holding on for dear life.
That's true.
So we make it through that, and we see them all celebrating now on land. Sitting on Court's boat.
Yep.
Where Court refers to his winnings as 15,000 buckers.
Yeah.
Which I'm pretty sure is racist in some way. I don't know. Something about it sounded filthy and unwarranted.
Just like fuckers, so I don't
guess know. So, yeah. It just sounded weird. It sounds like something somebody says when they're like, want to say slang, but their brain just like stops halfway through and you just make up a word.
I'm sure that's exactly what he did. Yeah. Like that must be what he did. And then, so then of course, Mitch and Craig are like, cool, now you can sell the boat and give us our $3,000 back. Yep. Hooray. And Court's like, well, I can't do that. I already registered us for another race.
Yeah. Where the prize is only $5,000instead of 15.
Seems like not a thing. No. So then our freeze
frame. Mitch and Craig shove him into the water in a freeze frame. Yeah.
As he deserves. They do keep kind of forgetting that his ribs are cracked and like patting him on the
back. Oh, yeah. He's getting a lot of pats.
Pushing him in the water. I'm like, oh, that's not good. He's not going to have a good time with that. Mm-mm. And he does make faces. So I guess the actor remembers that his ribs are supposed to be cracked.
Yes.
Good. But yeah.
So yeah, overall, not a bad episode.
Yeah.
We're on our way to the end of the season. There's only two more.
Woo, two.
So we will see what happens next when you're watched by the Bay.
Indeed. Well, this one, they were particularly watched by the Bay.
And seaweed. Sexual seaweed.
No! Thanks for listening. We'd love it if you subscribe to our podcast and leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast channel. Find us on Instagram and join the discussion on our dedicated weekly comment posts. Tell your friends about us. Tell your enemies. Tell your local lifeguard. And check out voxcrow.ca for more podcasts. Some of them might even have our voices. See you on the sand!